Okay, good evening, everyone. I have an outline for tonight. It's on its way. I almost brought it. It's cooking. There we go. It's cooking. It's baking. Hey, look at that. See? I'm already having an influence. Okay, so it'll be here in Meretz Hashem. We could start with the introduction, and then we'll by the end of the introduction, I think we'll have our outline here. You got to bear with me. I woke up at 3:45 this morning in Boca Raton, so I'm still plugging away. So just if at any point I don't make sense, just let me know. There we go. All right, here we go. This row. Beautiful. Okay, great. Okay, so everyone's while you're getting your outline. So let me just share with you where we are. So we last left off, if you remember, in our very beginning of our introduction, we spoke about the fact that in Hilchos Bishul, you always have three elements that you have to be thinking about. One is the Dinei Doraisa. Is this cooking? Is this not cooking? One is the Dinei Dirabanan. Now that I've established that it's not cooking, have I violated any of the rabbinic restrictions to prevent other things from happening? Or to do things that look like cooking or any of the other rabbinic prohibitions. And then, even if it's not cooking, and even if I haven't violated any of those rabbinic prohibitions, have I touched any of the extraneous to Hilchos Bishul, other Hilchos Shabbos issues, or other halakhos in general? Maybe it's not Bishul, and maybe it's not Shehiyah and Chazara, but maybe I violated Avodah Zarah. I don't know, right? Maybe whatever you're doing, you know, you're... They're also, so you're sacrificing animals to the god of whatever, right? So maybe if it's already been soleh, so there's no issue of tzli achar tzli. And maybe if there's a blech, so you don't have to worry about the iser chazara. And maybe if the knobs are covered, you don't have to worry about, but you're being makriv meat to a god, a foreign god, so we would kill you anyway. So not everything could be solved with a blech, which in general is a good klal to live life by. So tonight is really about that middle piece. And then, unfortunately, we had to cancel one because of the snowflake. So we're going to make it up. Emir Tzashem, I think next week. Everyone available next week? I think everyone is available next week. Okay, so we'll figure it out. And I think we'll try to just keep going for another week. So tonight, we're in the Dinei Dirabanan. It's very important to understand that everything that's happening now already assumes we've conquered our challenges of Dinei Doraisa, which means we're going to talk about blechs tonight. You could have 50 blechs on top of each other, but if you are taking a raw potato and putting it in proximity to a heat source to the extent that it has the capacity to cook more than Michael Ben Drusoy, more than an edible amount, you violate Bishul Doraisa. All these things only address rabbinic issues. You always have to make sure you're not violating Bishul Doraisa. So let's begin. So this is a very fundamental point. There is an Isser on Shabbos, lo sase kol melacha. You're not allowed to do melacha. There isn't an Isser on Shabbos for melacha to be done, for melacha to happen on its own, right? We're not required to live in an environment devoid of melacha, right? We're not, the question we always get on JetBlue, right? Are you Amish, right? Are you like the Amish? Are you somewhat like the Amish? You a little bit like the Amish? And we're like, no. We have portfolios and lots of real estate. We're not like the Amish, right? So we're permitted to have, melacha is allowed to happen around us. We're not allowed to do melacha. We're not allowed to do melacha on Shabbos. So therefore, there is no Isser Doraisa at all to initiate a bishul process before Shabbos begins and allow that food to cook over Shabbos. You're doing nothing, right? So you have a pot of raw food and you put it on the fire at minute 17 of the 18, which is 1 minute before Shkia, right? Minute 17 before the 18, when what's-his-name is walking in the door, right? You stick it on the fire, and now it's going to cook through Shabbos on its own. That does not violate any Isurei Doraisa. There is no biblical prohibition to do that, because you're not doing anything on Shabbos. However, Chazal were very concerned that by allowing Bishul, in particular, to occur on its own, we would end up involved in other malachos. Since Bishul is part of the context of the preparation of food, and the preparation of food is an activity that we do each and every day. Every day we have to make our food. So since an activity we do each and every day, we know what happens with things that become habitual. You do them out of habit. You do them by rote. You just do them. So when you are presented with a circumstance on a day of the week where you're not permitted to engage in certain behaviors surrounding the cooking process, but the cooking process is going on, we have a great concern that you will intervene in that process in a manner that will violate an Isser D'Oraisa, and therefore Chazal made certain gezeros, certain takanos, to remove us from even an automatic Bishul process. So even though, in theory, if you were to start Bishul before Shabbos, and it would happen on its own, that's not a problem at all. But what are we worried about? So Chazal's main concern is you will come to, and this is the key phrase, Shema Yechate Es HaGecholim. We're worried that you're going to stoke the coals. Stoking the coals is problematic on a number of levels. It's problematic because when you stoke, if anybody's ever been in camp, or made a little in your fireplace, or barbecues before everything was propane, and we were going to Home Depot every time we wanted to barbecue because you left the gas on the last time, right? So if you, right, we know that you gotta get the heat going, you have to mix the coals. So first of all, that could accelerate Bishul. That itself is an Isser D'Oraisa when you accelerate the cooking process. And second of all, it's an Isser Havara. You could end up igniting a part of the wood or a part of the coal that wasn't ignited previously. So that is a Torah prohibition. We are very worried that you are going to do that Torah prohibition. So since we're worried you're going to do that prohibition, we do not want a cooking process to be initiated before Shabbos and continue on its own through Shabbos, because we are concerned that you will intervene. However, even that concern of Shema Yechates HaGecholim has certain qualifications. We are only concerned that you're going to intervene if it's in your interest to intervene, right? We don't walk around our house all day whenever anything is cooking and just randomly turn up fires, right? That's not what we do, right? That ruins food, right? You know, every time you walk up to your oven, you don't be like, oh, why is this on 3 and 4 and 5? Boom, 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 everything to 10, right? Nobody does that. Why? Because that ruins food, right? But if something, so certain things you would do that with, certain things you wouldn't do that with. So if we establish certain objective parameters, since we can't establish a din for each and every circumstance, we establish certain objective parameters where we are confident that since the context of cooking is one that it is not in your interest to stoke these coals or to raise, in our contemporary kitchens, to raise these flames, it's not only it's not in your interest, it's going to be worse for the food to raise the fire. It could ruin the food to raise the fire. So if that is the circumstance, then Chazal are no longer worried, and it reverts back to the authentic, original biblical standard, which is, as long as you're not doing anything, you don't have to worry about anything. And that's basically the concept of Shema Yechates HaGecholim. So there is a very important Mishnah. And in this Mishnah, I know we know we're not going to do lots of different shitos, but this machlokas is important. In other words, the machlokas tanoim. And the machlokas is, and the machlokas is, at what point are we no longer concerned that you're going to go ahead and stoke those coals? We're not talking about returning food to a fire now. We're talking about the beginning of Shabbos, what's called shihia. I want to put food up before Shabbos, and I want it to cook on Shabbos for me. So at what point am I worried that you are going to accelerate that process, and at what point am I not? So the Chachamim are of the opinion that even a fully cooked dish should not be placed in advance on an uncovered fire before Shabbos, because we are worried about Shema Yechates HaGecholim unless it is what's called Nitzamek Viralo, meaning that raising the heat will ruin the food. It will ruin the food. So it's not that it'll make the food cook faster or to make the food cook, you know, differently. By raising the heat, you're going to burn this food. And it will no longer be edible. So you have a fully cooked, I guess kugel is not a good example because some people like 72-hour kugel, whatever goes on. You know, I'm not one of these people. But, right, you know, but whatever happens. But you have certain foods at a certain point. There's just, you have rice. You cook rice, right? There's a certain amount of minutes you can cook rice. And if you leave it in the oven too long, it will dry out, flaky, ruined. So we're not worried if that rice is fully cooked that you're going to go ahead and raise the fire. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. That's the stricter opinion. That the food has to be so fully cooked before Shabbos that anything you would raise it before Shabbos would ruin the food and its stomach viralo. And then you could use no blech. There's no blech here. Nobody's discussing a blech. There's no reason for a blech here. I'm talking about without a blech. Chananya, which is the other opinion in the Mishnah, says no. He says that if the food is cooked till Michael ben Drusai, which we discussed last week, is let's say about half cooked. The food is cooked to Michael ben Drusai. Once it's already edible, we are not worried that you're going to accelerate the bishul. Because even though it's not done cooking, since the process is moving along, and when you encounter the dish, it already can be eaten, if it needs to be eaten, we're just not concerned that you're going to automatically flip up the fire. We're not worried. Of Shami Yechates HaGecholim. So according to the opinion of Chananya, as long as the food is cooked, K'maychol Ben Drusai, half cooked, and we spoke last week about, let's say, the amount of time. So let's say it takes an hour and a half to cook a chicken. So in 45 minutes, even though the chicken's not completely finished, right? As long as it hits that before Shabbos, it can stay on your stove and cook the rest of its way on Shabbos with no blech, with nothing. You don't have to worry about it because we're not concerned. Shema Yechates HaGecholim. The Shulchan Aruch, it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Chachamim. The Ramah actually paskins Lekula like Chananya. There are lots of tshuvas from the Sfardim telling them, don't worry, even though the Shulchan Aruch says we have to be Machmir, really there are a lot of Shitas in Sfardic literature that are more Mako. And of course all the Ashkenazi tshuvas say, don't worry, even though it looks like we're Mako, there's a lot of Makoros that say we should really be Machmir. And so therefore, our general approach is to try to be Machmir like the Shulchan Aruch. And so therefore, we try not to put anything on an uncovered fire from before Shabbos that is not fully cooked. But again, if for some reason, let's say you're in a situation, you have no blech, there is no blech, and you realize the dish, you have extra companies coming, they called you up, they said, we're having a Shabbaton, we need five more people, you need to throw in a chicken, it's 10 minutes before Shabbos, you don't have a blech, you have no way to cover this fire, so me'ikar adin, you can rely on the Shita Sarama, that as long as the food is cooked, k'maychol ben drusoi, before Shabbos, we're not worried that you're going to stoke the coals, so we don't have any issues, and you could go ahead and use that. Now, how much is Michael ben Drusoi? So we discussed, I think we discussed this. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's half cooked, right? You know, half cooked. And when does that time start? That time starts from when it hits Yad Soledes Bo till the complete cooking, and you divide that in half. The post can basically say about Michael ben Drusoi today that we're really, it's very hard to measure this now because, you know, the ovens, you know, soon it's going to be Pesach and people are going to start calling with all these ovens that I have to pretend like I know what they are. You know, it's a convection, microwave, nuclear, you know, dry out, blow oven, toaster, you know, with a Yontif mode, right? And you just like, I don't, you know, so like there's so many different, you know, so how long do things really take to cook? When's Michael ben Drusai? So we generally treat something as Michael ben Drusai. As soon as something is edible, we call that Michael ben Drusai. It could be that that's a little more machmir. It could be it's a little more mekel. We basically, as soon as you and I would eat it, we call that Michael ben Drusai. What's interesting is, yes.
What happens when there are foods that we eat both raw and cooked?
So it's a good. Correct. Correct. So it would be, you would be mishayer it based on if people are eating cooked carrots, you know, how cooked does that carrot need to be that you would say this is a cooked carrot? Like, I make a lot of stir fry. So, you know, in the first few minutes, you could see it's very bright orange. It's totally raw. It's completely crunchy. It starts softening up a little bit. So, you know, so, but yeah, that's why it's a good point. But basically, when something's edible in that way. Now, the Mincha Shlomo, here's a good, something interesting. Mincha Shlomo says that if you accept Shabbos early, you could allow the cooking time to go all the way until actual Shabbos. But you don't have to, since this is already a Din D'Rabbanan, right? This is already only a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. So you accepted Shabbos a little bit early. So as long as the food is Michael Ben Jusai, by the time Shabbos starts, Chazon Ish might even be more Mekel than that, it's mutter to eat on Shabbos. But in general, that's what we try to do. So our main concern with Shehiyah is that you're going to stoke the coals. So there's a way to completely eradicate that concern altogether. Let's say I want to be machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch, I want to have food that's fully cooked going into Shabbos, but I can't always get all the food fully cooked going into Shabbos. It's just not realistic. It's just not happening. So what could be done? So the Gemara says that since our main concern is that you're going to stoke the coals, if you do something to these coals to remind you not to do that, then we no longer have that concern as well. And that is called garuf vikatum. Garuf means they used to remove the coals, and just the heat would collect, and katum, or they used to cover the coals. And the idea is to minimize the heat a little bit. When you minimize the heat a little bit, so what happens is you walk up to the thing, and you remember right away that you can't cook, because you have something there that's disrupting the cooking process. So by disrupting the cooking process, you already remember that this is not a normal situation of cooking, because no one would cook like this. So by disrupting the cooking process, we'll remember not to stoke the coals, and so therefore, then we don't have to worry about Shema Yechata Es HaGecholim. So once there is a blech involved, technically, the food does not have to be cooked at all before Shabbos. This is an important thing to understand, and this is where we get very lost with all the chumras. Me'ikar adin, I don't just mean me'ikar adin and then I'm going to tell you that you can't wear your Uggs. I mean, really, me'ikar adin. Me'ikar adin, if you're using a blech, there's no more concern of Shema Yechata Es HaGecholim. So the food can be completely raw, the food can be Michael Ben Drusai, the food can be more than that. Me'ikar adin, that is totally mutter. If for some reason you have an emergency, Erev Shabbos, and you have to... Now, the poskim say, it's not a great idea. It's not a great idea because you are literally playing with fire. How are you playing with fire? If you move it, it's a problem. If you take it off by accident, it can't go back on. If you do anything to if you mix it, it's a problem. It's an issur d'oraisa to mix something on a fire that's not fully cooked, right? We have a lot of chumras on the mixing. We don't even mix things that are fully cooked, not on the fire. Right? But it's an issur d'oraisa to mix something that's not fully cooked on the fire. So if something's on a blech and it's not fully cooked, it's a little bit dangerous. And so therefore, we try not to do that on a regular basis. But me'ikar adin, if there is a blech on the stove, you no longer have the consideration of Shema Yechates HaGecholim. You are back to the din d'oraisa, that as long as the cooking process is initiated before Shabbos, you can go ahead and do this. This is not necessarily true. This is not true at all in an oven. Because an oven, you can't really make an oven garuf v'katum so easily. Because the first of all, ovens cook differently. The way Chazal viewed ovens was differently. It's a more concentrated heat as opposed to the range heat. And there's no way to really put a blech in an oven. So there's like an oven insert. I don't think it's so popular anymore. I think people, you know, used to use Pesach before the self-clean. A lot of people used oven inserts. But assuming there's no blech there, so that's much bigger problem. To do shehiyah in an oven is problematic if the food is not cooked, at least k'michol ben drusai, and our minhag is to try to even make it fully cooked. But on the top of the stove, on the kira, That would be mutter as long as it is on a blech. As long as it's on a blech. What does the blech have to be? So the blech should be... So we cover the fire with basically a sheet of metal. Some poskim say all you have to do is cover the fire. Some poskim, Rav Moshe talks about this, Aaron Cutler was big on this, that in our generation we should also maybe cover the knobs. Because after all, if the whole point here is that you shouldn't stoke the coals, who plays with the part of the stove where the gas is, the propane is coming out, the gas is coming out? That's not where you, play with the fire. You play with the fire on the knobs. So maybe we should also cover the knobs. So a lot of people have the minhag to cover the knobs. That's an example of you could call it a chumrah, because the Gemara doesn't talk about it, Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about it, because these things didn't exist. But that's very sensical, right? That makes a lot of sense, right? Why, if the whole point of the blech is to stop us, so some would say, so there are different approaches. So some would say, cover the knobs, because that's where you really make the adjustment. Some say, no, the takana was to cover the fire. And covering the fire is enough of a heker that you should remember not to play with this fire. And how do we play with the fire? We play through the knobs. But there was never the tzura of that takana never included covering the knobs. The takana wasn't to cover whatever you use to make the fire bigger. The takana wants to cover the fire, and that's the heker. And that's what reminds you not to play with it. But so some have that custom as well, to cover the knobs, to cover the temperature control. What about if you realize on Shabbos that you didn't put the blech on? I get this shaila all the time. Can you put the blech on Shabbos? So most poskim say you can, as long as the fire is not so hot. And this, a normal oven does not make the fire this hot with a normal blech. But now with a lot of these new kitchens, I mean, there's a lot going on with these like institutional ovens and stovetops that are being put in like regular homes. So you just have to make sure that metal doesn't get so hot that it turns red. Metal that gets so hot that it turns red, that would be an Issur D'oraisa, right? That's the same Issur D'oraisa as turning on the light bulb, right? The filament, the glowing filament. That we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But assuming that that's not what we do, assuming it doesn't turn red, that's fine. The Chazon Ish was not crazy about this. He held that even heating metal to Yatza lettuce bow is a problem, even without it getting red, because maybe Chatzi Shir. But okay, that's the Chazon Ish also had another chumrah, which was that he felt that part of what Garuf HaKatum was about was diminishing the heat a little bit. In other words, the heker was that when you looked at this stove in Talmudic times, the stove had something on it that was making it cooler. So that's what reminded you not to. So he says, come on, this sheet of metal, it doesn't really cool down the surface. You could still cook just as stark on the blech as you can not on the blech. Or that was his observation. And so therefore, you should put some for our blechs. In other words, in the times of the Gemara, Garuf HaKatum, no problem. But for us, even for Shehiya, he wanted you to put an empty pot between the food and the heat. And that's why sometimes you'll see some people that even for Shehiya, we haven't gotten to the other times where we would do that, but even for Shehiya, even for food coming into Shabbos, would put something between the hot surface and the heat. What about like a Shabbos plata like we have? So if the Shabbos plata is non-adjustable, or if you make it non-adjustable, so many poskim say that a Shabbos plata, you would never cook on it. It's not, even though you can cook, this is the discussion, you can cook on the Shabbos plata. It gets that hot, or at least some of them do, apparently. You can cook on it. So on one hand, maybe we should just look at it like as a fire, the same way we look at a crock pot as a fire. Same way we look at any electrical heating element, even though we don't see the actual fire, we treat as a fire and needs a blech if you're going to violate, Shema Yechate. But perhaps when we're coming to the Shabbos plata, even though you can cook on it, it's designed, I think one of the poskim say, it's called a Shabbos plata. Like it's designed, its whole essence, its whole mahus, its whole identity is this Shabbos cooking, Shabbos heating object. So as soon as you look at the Shabbos plata, You never imagine in a million years. You never think about cooking the Shabbos. When you look at the Shabbos Plata, and the first thing you think about is Yom Zemechubot, because that's Shabbos. Shabbos is, you have the Shabbos Plata out. So that's something to think about. How often do we use? Do we use the Shabbos Plata during the week also? Do we, you know, how do we use that? But so the poskim, many poskim are therefore makel on it. You should try to make it non-adjustable, or at least cover the knob. But there were poskim, Rav Yashiv held, and you know, that's why you'll go to some homes and there'll be a piece of aluminum foil on it. You know, what's the point of that? That there should be a little bit of a heker. That there should be, shouldn't just be sitting the way it is. We don't have a Shabbos Plata, but if we did, it wouldn't have aluminum foil. And that's true just generally about electric cooking elements, that the ones that are used during the week to cook normally, that's, you know, that would require a blech unless you're following all of these rules. There's one very interesting din in Hilchos Bishul with Shehiya called Kedera Chaisa. Kedera Chaisa is Gemara and Daf Yud Ches in Shabbos, and the Gemara says, hey, even though we said that food that's already starting to cook is a problem to have on the fire before Shabbos, what if you put totally raw food on the fire the second before Shabbos? So the Gemara wants to say there's no issue of Shema Yechatas HaGecholim. Why? Because the assumption is that no matter what you do to the coals, it won't be ready for Friday night. And by the time it's going to be ready for Shabbos, there's no reason, there's no rationale in stoking the coals. So since there's no sensical reason why you would manipulate this cooking experience, so therefore, Kedei Rechaisa, that's considered mutter. There are poskim that today are less comfortable with Kedei Rechaisa because a lot of our cooking elements actually can cook much faster than that, because often people make dishes that are not just, you know, a big slab of meat that literally is inedible Friday night, but it's got vegetables and it's got, you know, all sorts of different rice and things that will be edible. So there are poskim. So it's generally not something that it's generally not something that we do regularly. But it is something that you could kind of keep in your back pocket as an emergency. And you wouldn't think this, right? As an emergency, that not to put it on, that it's worse to put it on a half hour before Shabbos than right before Shabbos. You following? Put it on a half hour, an hour before Shabbos, even though you think it's cooking more, right? Put it on a half hour before Shabbos, right? But you put it on right before Shabbos, then it can't possibly be ready anyway. Yeah.
Like, in a hot pot, the idea of, putting a piece of tinfoil inside.
Great. We're going to get to that. So, in fact, let's just talk about it now, since you brought it up.
And putting raw eggs into your challah right before Shabbos.
So, that probably is this assumption, that it's raw, it's not going to be ready for Friday night anyway. And it can't... and accelerating it won't help with that. Those are two separate questions.
Right.
The other question you asked, a good question. What about the blech? What about the chillin pot, right? So again, it's important to understand why you need a blech in a crock pot. So a crock pot, we're talking about not a one-piece crock pot, but a two-piece crock pot. So we're going to get to Chazara soon, Mirtz Hashem, right? So to return things to the fire, you always need a blech. So if we're going to return it, then it definitely needs something. If we're not going to return it, if we're just doing shehiya, then me'ikar adin, it depends how cooked that cholent is going into Shabbos. If you started the cholent on Friday morning and you hit Shabbos and it's completely edible, in fact, it's totally cooked and it's really just, you know, so then you could argue that it doesn't need a blech at all. But if it's not going to be fully cooked before Shabbos, then you wouldn't want to put in a blech. There is a discussion how to make a blech out of this crock pot. Because one of the things they're concerned about, Rabbi Willig talks about this, is that, so the suggestion is line it with aluminum foil. Problem with the lining of the aluminum foil is you walk up to your crock pot, and if the blech is in between the ceramic and the heating apparatus, you don't see it. You don't see it. The whole takana is to cover the fire. So there's a heker. So there's a reminder not to do anything on Shabbos. But you don't see it. It's between the thing and the thing. So the Eitza is to put so much... That's why I say sometimes you go to people's homes and there's tinfoil coming out of the crock pot. tefillah coming out of the crock pot, so then this way there's at least a little bit of a hecker. So some people say that's the way to do it, pull it out of the crock pot. Some people say that's really nothing. That's no different than putting a sign in front of your cholent saying, do not adjust, it's Shabbos. You know, it has nothing to do with the original takana of garuf v'katul. In fact, Rabbi Willig likes the crock pots that are not inserted, but are more on a flat surface for that reason. The other thing, though, the other benefit you get by putting the foil in between is avoiding another issue, which we're going to see next week, which is hatmana. The question of whether or not a crock pot generates an issue of hatmana, which none of them did for decades. And then in Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden, I think I was in Israel when this happened. Someone brought a crock pot to one of the Israeli poskim, and he looked at it and he said, that's hatmana. And then, of course, all the crock pots were awesome. So we burned the sheitels in the crock pot. So what happens? So that's why, like, if you come to our house, so you'll see. So you got the crock pot, you got the foil coming out, we got little balls of foil at the bottom to raise it off the thing so it's not fully surrounded. So there's a lot of aluminum foil involved in the glasser production of chillin. What if by accident you realized you violated Shehiyah? And that does happen. You realize the pot's on the fire without a blech, and it's not Michael Ben Drusoy. So the answer is you take it off. The answer is that you don't. That's not okay. You can't let that happen throughout Shabbos. If it does happen, then you're not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos. You could eat it after Shabbos. However, I did see in the Orchos Shabbos a kula, that's a good back pocket kula, that's only true if the food is for Friday night. If the food is for Friday night, then you really violated the Isra of Shehiyah, because you put the food up, and it was meant for Friday night, and you could have been mechata the gechalim. But if b'di'eved, you didn't put the blech on, and it ended up cooking, and not that it was for Friday night, and now you're going to eat it on Shabbos day, but it is a Shabbos day food, right? It's a food that we all agree we only eat on Shabbos day. Maybe the cholent, maybe the, I don't know what, deli roll is more of a Shabbos day. Do we all agree? No? Not? Deli roll, shtickle Shabbos day, right? Whatever. We have a lot of salads, but b'di'eved you could eat on Shabbos. Okay, so now that's Shehiyah. So that is all talking about a situation where the food initially began before Shabbos cooking. Now it's going to cook on its own, and that's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's only an Issa D'Rabbanan if we're worried that you're going to do something to it. If we're not worried you're going to do something to it, because either what you would do to it wouldn't make a difference, or you've made a substantial symbol to remind you not to do anything to it, then that becomes permissible, and that ends Shehiyah. Yeah, one more question. You had a question?
No, just to clarify, so with a crock pot,
yeah,
does the food have to be cooked from a halb ben drusai before Shabbos, or more than that, or less
so,
than that?
What is right. So that's a good question. So it isn't a straight up answer what it has to be. Let's talk about the minimum of what it has to be. Minimally, if you're not going to put foil in your crock pot, there's no question that it has to be at least Michael Ben Drusoy. Short of that, we're in a real problem. Beyond that, it only gets better, right? If you put a blech down there anyway, then Me'ikar Adin, it could even be less than Michael Ben Drusoy, right? It's just dangerous, because if the president Friday night comes home and he decides that he wants to have a little bit of chillant, and he takes the thing off and he opens the thing, or he doesn't take the thing off, he opens the thing and he's looking at the thing and he pokes around and he's like, whoa, this isn't ready yet. That's the end of the chillant. Now you're coming to the rabbi's house for lunch, right? So it's much more likely to happen the other way around, probably. So it's dangerous, but it's mutter, right? Because you have a blech there, right? If you have the whole thing cooked going into Shabbos, then in theory you don't even need a blech. We would put a blech in, so you don't have to worry about chazar or anything like that. But that would be completely mutter. So there are ways to start your Shabbos without a fully cooked cholent. You just have to take all these factors into account. The best way to start your Shabbos without a fully cooked cholent is to make sure there's a blech in the crock pot. That avoids a lot of problems. Otherwise, you have to really worry. And then you get in, this is a mixture. So maybe the meat, you know, that's what happens sometimes Friday night when you go poking around. The barley is completely done. The meat is done, but it's chewy. Like, what's up with that, right? It's not going to taste like that tomorrow, right? The potatoes are done, but somewhere in the middle there, it gets a little carpassy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a little, you know what I'm talking about, right? So the, I spend a lot of time with this for halakhic research. Yes?
In terms of the blech in the crock pot, do you have to put balls down too? You referenced that in your house there's balls.
We put the balls down because of a different issue of lifting it up a little bit. So it's not entirely, it's not anyway entirely, but it's not on all sides except for one encased with the heating element. So that is something that is a good thing to do. I'm not ready to say you're required to do it. Not everybody does that. It avoids a problem of it's a good question. So we generally assume that covering the controls, I'm just putting us on airplane mode. We generally assume that covering the controls is something we do in addition to the blech. There are those that would say that that's really all you really need to do at all. So, you know, let's say you're in a situation where you don't have a blech, but you can cover the knobs or take off the knobs. Not all knobs that are removed can be put back. It's also something I have some experience with. Who dad in the chassan classes, actually. Something you discover in Shana Rishona. We would not do Shehiyan Chazara in an oven with food that's not fully cooked without even covering the knobs. We generally would require more than that. The Shabbos mode, right, the Shabbos mode, and we'll talk about this next week, doesn't affect Bishul issues. It affects other issues having to do with the oven. But we'll get into that, right? So, okay, now, we're not allowed to return food that's been removed from the fire back to the fire, okay? So now, I have food, it's fully cooked. Certainly, if it's not fully cooked, there's nothing to talk about returning. That's going to be an Isser D'oraisa to return food that's not fully cooked. But if it's fully cooked, so long as the original shehia, the original initiating act of bishul, has not been substantially disrupted, I can allow that food to go back and forth in its influence from the original fire. So long as that original momentum of cooking has not been disrupted, I can allow that food to remain under the influence of that fire. Therefore, I have a pot of soup, and it's hot, and it's fully cooked, and it's on my blech, and it's on the stove. I take it off the stove, and I put it on the counter, and I let go. What I have done is, I have disrupted the shehiyah. I have ended that cooking process. For me to now take the pot and put it back on the fire, that violates the rabbinic prohibition of shehiyah. The two reasons why the two reasons why that might be usur is, number one, because of the possibility that it looks like I'm cooking. Because if Morty walked into my house and he saw me doing this, first of all, he would say, wow, look, he helps with the food. Right, but then he would say, this is the rabbi, this is the rabbi of my shul, this is what it means to daven in the young Israel. We make political statements about the Israeli political parties, right? That we take the pots and we just go and cook on Shabbos. It looks like I cooked on Shabbos. That's what it looks like. If person walked in, they would see me. They'd look like I'm cooking on Shabbos. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, because it might cool down. So now when I put it back, I might go and accelerate the bishul again to get it going. So there is an iser called chazara. You're not allowed to return the food to the fire, but only if you've disrupted the original cooking process. And therefore, there are a number of conditions to ensure that you do not disrupt that original process. What's called disrupting it? So number one, the fire always has to be covered. When we're talking about chazara, the fire always has to be covered to take care of the shema yichata sagachalim. Doesn't matter if it's fully cooked, half cooked, plain cooked, always covered. Number two, the pot cannot be set down. on something and essentially allowed to come to a rest, right? Because once it's allowed to completely come to a rest, so it has to be what's called oda biyado. It has to be in your hand. Now, this does not mean, as I have seen people do, this does not mean it has to remain suspended in your hand, right? Doesn't mean that you have to be lifting it up, or your mom was like, oh, finish already, you know what I mean? So I can put this thing back on the fire. It can be on the counter, but you have to be holding on to it. You hold on to it, the fire's covered. You also have to always have in mind that you're going to put it back. Not have in mind like the shame kedushas tefillin and the shame kedushas tefillin and the shame kedushas. Not that kind of have in mind. Have in mind that like this is the plan. The plan is to put it back. That's what we're doing. We're serving soup. We're putting it back. Not, oh, here's enough soup. Just enough soup for all my guests. I put it down on the counter. I start serving all the soup. Lo and behold, there's an extra one there. Oh, you know what? Maybe we'll have some later also. Let's put it back on the stove. That's called changing your mind, right? That's called being, right? That's called having, making a new decision. So if you, that disrupts the original shehiyah, the original, to be nisyachesit, to the original shehiyah, it has to be connected in that way. You have to have in mind to return the pot. So the pot cannot be set down on anything, but it remains in your hands. And you have to have in mind to return it. And as long as you have in mind to return it, then, excuse me, what do you call it? Then that is considered okay. What if you make a mistake and you let go? This happens all the time, right? Right? It's on the thing and you're serving the soup or something splatters on your hand or you reach for the something, or the, you know what I mean? And you let it go. So the post can basically say that, you know, as long as your das was really not just neutral, but it really was your intention the whole time to return it, that b'di'eved, you could still pick the pot back up. And, right, I have literally seen people do this. They, like, put the thing down, then they need to get something from there. So they're, like, you know, like, touching it, you know what I mean, while they try to get the extra ladle and, like, you know, so that's moronic. So that's not necessary. There is a famous Shitas HaRan that's important to know about. And the Shitas HaRan is the following, that all of these conditions for Chazara are only about food that was on the fire on Erev Shabbos and removed from the fire on Erev Shabbos, and now you want to return it on Shabbos. But if everything was on the fire as Shabbos came in, and the removal was on Shabbos, then these conditions are not required. That run, just follow me for a second, that run would then basically permit you, as long as, let's say, your kugels were on the fire when Shabbos came in, then you put them in the fridge, which is the same thing as letting go and not having in mind and not whatever. You could take that kugel from the fridge and put it directly on the blech. Not on an upside down pan or a Shabbos plata or anything. Directly on the blech. That is a kula. That is the run. We generally do not do this. There are poskim who do hold of this. It's definitely something that is yeshami lismok. You'll definitely go to people's homes. I believe the Rav held of this kula in connection with another. So anybody who, like, you know, a lot of people who grew up in Boston, they'll tell you that they do this all the time. But this is not, you know, I don't think it's traditionally you'll see this in Passaic, but it's definitely a very legitimate approach. It's not what we do personally in our home, but you should be aware that such a shita exists, and that if somebody is not using the upside down pan, but some people don't understand that very important condition. All this has to be on the fire before Shabbos. If it was not on the fire as Shabbos went in, then you can't take it out and put it on the blech. So that's the run. But again, very, very important to always keep in mind with all these situations is going back to my Bishul D'Oraisa, that potato that I took out of the thing. Is it raw? If it's raw, there's nothing to talk about. The liquids, right? The liquids, if they've cooled down below Yad Soledis Bo, even cooler than that, they're not even chamim ktsas, then there's no more chazara. That has nothing to do with the blech. You could have 20 blechs. It has nothing to do with the blech. You could have a blech and a pot and a blech and a pot on top of a crock pot, on top of an urn, on top of a, you know, on top of it, anything. It doesn't matter, because if the liquid cooled down to the point that it's cold, you can't heat up cold liquid on Shabbos because of the other bishul issues that we discussed. So, okay, you had a question.
This would be sitting actually on a fire when Shabbos started, or anywhere on the bluff?
Over the fire, yes. But we're going to get to something you're alluding to, which is the different spaces on the blech. And that's true. The blech has different, there are zones, I think. It would have to be, right, it would have to be under the influence of the fire. It couldn't be like... Right, over the fire, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, directly over the fire, but in the zone of the blech that it could achieve Yad Soledes Bo, right? That's the, I think it was Rabbi Eider's book on Shabbos that originated the Zone A, Zone B, Zone C. I don't think that's an Ode Behuda. We'll get to that. Okay, so we're running out of time, so just a couple of, and then we'll pick up next week, Amir Tzashem. Let's say you accidentally removed the wrong pot from the fire, and you set it down completely. So that's a machlokas aposkim. So some poskim say, okay, that's it. You removed the wrong pot from the fire, you put it down on the floor, you plan to not pick it up again, you were a makasadas completely, right? It's not that you had in mind to then use it next, this is just, you just picked up the wrong pot. So Rav Yashua said you would not be allowed to do that. Rav Shlomo Zalman would matter you to put it back on the fire, because he says we could be makel on that, rely on that ran, right? The ran that we don't want to use, that people are nervous to use in general, said, okay, but if you made a mistake and it's b'dieved already, so we could rely on the ran. It was on the fire before Shabbos. We don't have tnai chazara, but we could put it back on the fire on Shabbos. That's a kula you definitely could rely on. Or what if the fire goes out under the pot and you want to place the pot on top of another fire? On top of another fire. So here also, Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe say that since it's so obvious that you're... So what would be the problem? The problem is, we said, the way I formulated it before is, the goal of Chazara is not to disrupt the original Shehiya, right? So here, you're putting it on a new fire. That really looks like a new cooking, right? So the Shaila is that original Shehiya, the momentum that is launched, that is initiated, that creates that Shehiya, is that emanating from the fire that's under this pot, from the heating source? Or is that emanating from the pot itself, from the cooking experience of the food? So if you assume that it's the cooking experience of the food, so the fact you're moving it to another fire, as long as the food is still under the influence of its initial, excitement of its molecules that resulted in its heat, so that's not a violation of chazara. That would still be the original shehiyah. And that happens. That's something to think about. Okay, we went over, so we'll pick it up here. Okay, next week we'll finish up Chazara. We'll do Hatmana, and then we'll talk about some of the more modern questions as well. Yashkoach, everyone.